remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. While you're finding your place, I was thinking this is the first time back in services. We made some congratulations over the airwaves, but I thought it's the first time that we've seen them and since the announcement's been made, but I'm glad to hear that there's going to be a little Bubba or Bubette, amen, on the way. And Miss Amber and Brother Bubba, amen. Congratulations, amen. And we'll be praying, God bless that, amen. Bless that union and use that for His glory and His honor, amen. And then one more, I understand, this first time we've seen Brother Phillips since Miss Evelyn popped the question, amen. And she said, when you gonna get me a ring? No, I'm kidding. But I want to say congratulations to him as well and them and their upcoming, their engagement, upcoming wedding sometime in 2022, I think. Amen. And so, amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, if you found your place, we'll read the Word of God here together. These first three verses is what I read last week and preached on the first two verses on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I want to read those because they apply, and then go to this third verse today if I can by the help of the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want to read verse 3 again because that's where our text primarily is. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Been good to us, Lord. Yes.
Thank you for the cross on which you died. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to assemble back in the house of God today.
Yes.
I'd ask, Lord, that you'd breathe upon us, especially the preacher this morning.
Help us, Lord.
Give us the power and the function to preach the word of God. Turn our hearts to thee. Go as closer unto you.
Yes.
Save sinners, Lord, and your will be done in every heart and every life. Thank you. For the privilege of being back once again in church.
Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I appreciate that prayer. Thank you, Brother Hall. Amen. Well, I mentioned about Faith Promise Missions, and matter of fact, I meant to have given these cards out earlier. I'll tell you what. Let me get a couple of young men, Brother Daniel over yonder. Can I get somebody from over this way? Do a couple, and if y'all will pass these out, everybody that wants one. Thank you, fellas. Amen. And then if you get missed and you want one, raise your hand, and we'll make sure that you get one. Amen. And I think most of you know how we fill those out. And I don't think there needs to be instruction on that probably. Brother Blue would always say there's not a place to put your name because we're not interested in sending you a bill or keeping a record that way. Unless, if you will, fill out ours because I didn't grab one myself. What it is just a commitment. You pray about what the Lord would have you do. Do be sure that you mark whether it's a weekly or monthly or bi-month, however you're going to do that, then make sure you mark that, because if you put the figure down and we think it's by the week and it's going to be by the month, back there in the back, the rookie on our soundboard. I'm kidding. If you put it down there and we count it like it's every week and it's really every month, then we're going to have a wrong figure. And so, if you will, thank you, fellas. And if you will, make sure you fill that out. What we'll do at the end of the service, yes, sir. At the end of the service, then we'll take those up and we'll get a count. Maybe tonight, Lord willing, we'll let you know what our count is. And I know we got several members that are not here. And I know at least one told me that they're going to send in information, and others may do the same, and that'll be fine. Our goal really, my purpose is not to see if we can exceed last year or even we like to know so we can make some plans and budget and prepare for those things. But at the same time, in my mind, when God led me to these verses and this text, the thought was missions needs to keep going. COVID-19 can't shut down our missions. Missionaries need the funds probably now more than they did before. Amen. Because of the restrictions and the problems and the extra expenses that's on many of them. And so all those things need to keep going. But the gospel needs to keep going out. We can't stop sending out the gospel. And so that's my thought. Well, I started last week, as I said, talking about, with this idea of faith promise missions. And that's the way that our church has chosen, and many other churches has chosen, to support missionaries, is through what's known as faith promise giving. And I thought, well, you know, maybe if we're talking about a Faith Promise Missions Conference, maybe we should think about faith. And it might be good to define what we mean by faith. And so with that in mind, I began looking at these verses and trying to determine from it if I could explain what faith actually is and help us recognize it. I said this, some people believe that faith is just wishful thinking or wistful thinking. Faith, some to them, is just a premonition of something good that's going to happen. That's their faith. Or sometimes it's just optimism, just hoping for the best and that sort of thing. That just hoping that everything's going to turn out all right. But I'm afraid that too many people today view faith and speak of faith, but they're mistaken in their view as to what faith really is. When the Bible talks about faith, it's talking about believing what God has revealed. You know how God has revealed it? Through His Word. Amen. Faith is believing the Word of God. Amen. Believing and acting on that faith. It's interesting to me. By the way, Brother Philip, do you need one of these faith promises? Did you get one? Okay, I thought you'd stepped out, so let me give you one right quick. We'll make sure we get yours. Amen. Amen. Just picking. When we look at the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, we know it as the Heroes Hall of Fame of the Faith, or the Heroes of the Faith chapter. Something's interesting to me when you read through there, every one of these men and women were moved by faith, but their faith moved them to do something. Amen. They didn't just believe something. There's actions behind their faith. Amen. Faith is a belief, but it is a belief that affects our behavior. Amen. A belief that affects what we do. I say it, that doctrine determines doing. Amen. And it will show up in what we do is I believe, a sign of what we really believe. So there's no use talking about faith. There's no use talking about living by faith if you're not living by the Bible. Amen. Amen. Faith requires an object in which to trust. Amen. Some people think that faith is just the equivalent of sincerity of belief. Just really believing that it's true. That doesn't make it true. Amen. Faith must believe the truth or else it's false faith. Amen. So what are we going to believe in? Well, we're going to have to believe in the divine word of God, the infallible word of God. We're going to have to trust what God has said. Amen. So in last Sunday morning sermon, I preached about faith's persuasion from verse number 1. Faith is the substance. And we talked about the evidence. It is those two things. We talked about it as the cause of faith's persuasion and the confirmation of faith's persuasion. There is the substance and there is the evidence of faith. We've got a deed to the property that God has promised us. Amen. We've got the Word of God. Amen. And that's what we base our faith upon. And so we talked about faith's persuasion, and then I preached on Sunday night about faith's praise. He says in verse number 2 that by the faith of these men, the elders obtained a good report. Amen. And so we saw that God gives a good testimony. Amen. About those that have exercised faith in the Word of God. Now, having said that, we're ready to move to the third point and verse number 3. And I want to preach for a few minutes on faith's perception. Notice what he says in verse number 3. Through faith we understand. That's a word we use for we understand. We perceive it. We can see it. Right? We can see it. We can perceive. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, interesting to me that verse number 1 talks about things not seen. You see that last two words? Things, or three words, things not seen. Verse number 3 starts off about talking about things that are seen. Faith helps us to see what's not seen. And faith helps us to see what is seen, why it's there. Amen. We can understand a little bit more about what we do see. Amen. And so I'm glad that faith in the Word of God will allow us to be able to perceive some things. Amen. I put it this way in my notes. God's Word gives us a perceptive mind. Amen. If we receive God's words and we believe God's words, we will perceive God's world. We'll be able to see God started it. He's still working in this world. Amen. And the writer of Hebrews in verse number 3 particularly is alluding to the specific area of creation. And he's talking about how these things are made. And he has done that previously in the beginning of the book, but he's getting ready to deal with this major theme of faith and how that these Old Testament believers had this faith in God. And he starts with creation, then moves very soon on to Abel and then Enoch and then Noah and on down the line as you know that he goes. But he's dealing with this matter of creation. Whereas he says that faith allows us to see and to understand creation. Why is it that the scientists can't understand creation? I'm going to tell you why. Because they refuse to believe. Amen. They have chosen not to believe what God has said. Amen. But faith helps us to perceive or to understand this matter of creation, whereas doubts and disbelief leaves you in the dark concerning those matters and you don't understand. A lot of people in the dark are in the dark on this matter because of willful ignorance. They come up with some strange and stupid explanations for how things are, such as evolution, for example. Amen. They come up with all kinds of strange and stupid things. And the word translated understand here in verse number 3, the word understand is Strong's number 3539, and it means, quote, to exercise the mind. That is to comprehend or perceive. There's where I get my idea about perceiving in the understanding. We say it that way a lot of times. When somebody's just explaining something to us and it's like a light goes on, we say, oh yeah, I see that. You don't see it with your eye, you see it with your mind. You perceive it. You understand it with the mind. Well, I'm glad the Word of God helps us to perceive and understand how everything got here. Amen. Amen. And so by faith, we know that the world had a beginning. It's not always been here. There was a beginning. And somebody had to, there had to be a beginner. Somebody had to begin it. Amen. Unless somebody's moved it, there's a basketball over here right close to this basketball goal laying in the grass. If you were to walk out there and that basketball's spinning around and around, you'd say, who started that ball spinning? You wouldn't say, well, look at there. Evolution done picked up in that ball. No, somebody started it spinning. This world spinning, just the fact the world is evidence there's a God. But the fact that it's on course and it's spinning, somebody started that. Amen. Amen. And it was God that did that. We can understand that. We can perceive that. Amen. And so I say that we understand that everything that is here because somebody started it. And since somebody started it, everything that is not only had a beginning, it has an end. And somewhere at the end, they're going to face the one that started it all. By the way, that's one of the reasons why scientists don't like that. Amen. They don't like that idea because if there's a creator, then there's a judge. If I'm responsible to somebody starting me on this path, then I'm going to have to give an account of the path I've trod. Amen. And so that's the situation. And faith allows us to be able to understand that. Amen. The Bible gives a sensible explanation for the origin of the universe and for life. Amen. Faith believes what the Bible says. We just accept what the Bible says. And we accept that God has told us all that we need to know. He didn't tell us all the nitty-gritty details, but he told us all that we need to know. Amen. And by the way, it's amazing. Think about some of the myths that people come up with and fanciful stories people come up with how the world got here if there was no God. Amen. And they come up with all kinds of bizarre stories to match their quote-unquote scientific theoretical explanation for how it all came to be. All these are figments of a darkened imagination. Amen. All these are thoughts out of a darkened mind that fails to accept or chooses to refuse what God has said. Now, look at this. This is my thought today, how that faith gives us a perception. Three things that it helps us to see. Number one, the Word of God in creation. Number two, the work of God in creation. And number three, the wonder of God in creation. You think about those three things, and I'll deal with those very quickly. The Word of God in creation, the work of God in creation, and the wonder of God. The Word of God, look at what he said in verse number three, the first part. Through faith, we understand, underline that word, we understand that the worlds were framed by, here it is, the Word of God. In this matter of creation, we choose to take God's word for it. By the way, you have to take somebody's word for it. Amen. You have to take somebody's word for it. I remember Joshua telling this story, and I don't remember where he'd read it from, but this fella walks out one day and he sees this red sports car, I believe it is, in his driveway. And he walks all around. He don't know how it got there. He don't know where it came from. He looks, there's keys in the switch. He turns the key on. There's gas in the tank. He just takes it out for a spin. Well, first of all, I think maybe the first couple of days he waits in case somebody comes again. Then he finally takes it out for a spin. After a while, he invites people over and they're all gathered around and they're talking and they said, "Where'd you get that?" And he said, "I don't know. It just here one day. All of a sudden it just showed up." And, somebody said, "No, there's got to be a way that it came here." And so some guy comes up with this idea. You know, that sports car started out as a Volkswagen Beetle and it moved along and it became a Mustang and it moved along and it goes on all these different things till finally it became a sports car. And that guy said, "Yeah, I don't know if I can believe that or not." And so then somebody else comes up with the idea. Well, it just these atoms got together and they poofed it into being somehow or another. He said, "I don't know if I can believe that." And another guy says, "Wait a minute, I know where that thing came from. Not only do I know where it came from, I know who owns it. And he's going to come back and check on it. And he's going to want to know how you've been treating what he left in your driveway." And that fellow said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on. Somebody, I want to hear more about that story about how that Volkswagen evolved." Yeah. Because they don't want to hear the fact that God made this planet. And God's going to call us into judgment one of these days as to how and what we've done with what he's given us. Amen. This matter of creation, we take God's word for it. That's what I'm talking about. The book of Hebrews is written to believers. Amen. And it says, by faith, we understand. Do you see that? We understand how? Because we believe the word of God. Unbelievers do not believe God. But they have to believe somebody. Amen. Some people today believe in something they cannot understand simply because they refuse to believe the Word of God. I mentioned that the word understand is Strong's 3539. It means to exercise the mind to comprehend. The word comprehend means to grasp or to take in hand. Now, this is what I thought. To take in hand. So what do? We take God's Word from His hand to our hand. And we believe God's word. Amen. We take in hand what God has said. In other words, we understand, we comprehend that God created everything that is. We're taking God's word for it. We're receiving the truth from God's own hand. Amen. Amen. We understand that if God is big enough to give us a perfect Bible, if God is big enough to save our soul from hell, then God must be big enough to make everything just by His word. Amen. Amen. He can make everything out of nothing, and He did. Amen. We understand that God made it all by speaking the word. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Light appeared. Amen. When God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of waters, dry land appeared. On and on. When God said it, it was so. Can I tell you, when God said this is how it happened, and it happened in 7 literal days, that's exactly how it happened. God said it, and it is so. Amen. It is so. We believe that. We can understand that. We can comprehend that because we believe the word of God. So we believe everything that God said. We believe that when God said it, it came into being. Amen. Amen. So we believe that the worlds are framed by the word of God. Look, number two, not only by the word, but the works of God. That idea about the worlds were framed. Amen. The worlds were framed. Carpenters, and we got carpenters in here. Understand, you drive by a house site. Maybe there's a pad poured, or maybe there's a foundation dug, and you see all this lumber laying over. Somebody said, what's that? You said, that's the framing. Well, a house is not framed. It's just the material that's going to be framed into a house. But a house never appears until a framer comes and takes that wood and pieces it together and puts a plate, puts studs up, puts in the post, puts up the top plate, and stands up the wall, stands up another wall, and on they go. They are framing that house. Listen, God worked in making the world. Everything works the way God made it to work. Amen. The mineral world applies food to the plant world, and the plant world applies food to the animal world, and the animal world applies food to McDonald's. Amen. And God's got a chain, a frame that He built. Amen. How that the water runs to the sea, evaporates up in the sky, falls back in the form of rain, comes back up in the springs and flows back down the mountains and winds back up at the sea. God's got it all framed together. Amen. God in creation framed it all together. I looked that word framed up. It's Strong's number 2675. It means to complete thoroughly. That is to repair or adjust. God spoke it and it came into being. And then God went to work with what He made. Amen. Formed what He'd made. When He spoke it all into being, the earth was without form and void, and God put it into being as He wanted it to be. It's interesting to me that we get our light from the sun, we think. But God said, let there be light before there ever was a sun. And then He put the sun where He wanted it and said, all right, you make the light. It's been doing it ever since. Amen. Amen. I like Brother Herbert Williams said, he said this years ago. He said, you know, the sun, NASA has never had to make a call to Gulf Oil or BP Oil and say, we need some more fuel for the sun. God's provided it with what it needs. Amen. And so here we understand God's word tells us about the origin of the world, but God's word also shows us in His work the order of the world, that God made things in the order in which that they are made. Amen. The universe has a specific divine or design because it has a supernatural designer, amen, that made them. Matthew Henry said this. He said this understanding helps us comprehend the following 4 things. Number one, that these worlds were not eternal, nor did they produce themselves, but that they are made. Amen, that's the first thing. Number two, that the maker of the worlds is God. He is the maker of all things, and whosoever He is must be God. Amen. Number three, it lets us know that He made the world with great exactness. It is a framed work. in everything duly adapted and disposed to answer its end and to express the perfections of the Creator. Amen. In other words, he just said God made it like he wanted. Amen. And it's got an order to it. Then number four, he said, it lets us know that God made the world by his word, that is, by his eternal wisdom and eternal son, and by his active will, saying, let it be done, and it was done. Amen. Psalm 33 talks about the creation. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I've got two verses pulled out of Psalm 33. Verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Amen. Verse number 9 of Psalm 33 says, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Amen. So by believing the word of God, it helps us understand God's word in creation. We can perceive that. God's word in creation, God's work in creation, and number three, God's wonder in creation. Amen. So here's the phrase that I'm using for that is the last part of it. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. If many of you probably can remember the first time you ever seen the ocean, for example. You didn't look out there and say, well, boy, we're lucky that thing just happened to be. No, you thought, just think of the majesty of God, the vastness of that thing, the beauty, the power of God when you see the ocean. When you see a majestic mountain, there's something awe-inspiring about that. Amen. Something, you see the, I've never seen the Grand Canyon, but you see the Grand Canyon, there's something awe-inspiring about that. Amen. And that's a product of the flood, apparently. Amen. But God made those things, and we look at that, and it points us to God, in other words. You can look at a sparrow. You can look through a telescope or binoculars and look out at the stars. And I mean, all those things, you can see the wonder of God in the creation of God. Amen. You think about the amazing act of creation. We must never lose the wonder of the Creator himself. Don't just get all involved in the creation itself, but look at the wonder of the Creator himself. The things which are seen point us to him that is invisible. Amen. We see God in the vastness of the skies. We see God in the majesty of the sea. We see God in the beauty of the forest. We see God in the grandeur of the mountains, and on and on and on we go. In short, we say our faith allows us to see that our God is wonderful. We can see what cannot be seen.
Amen.
Amen. We can see what unbelievers cannot see. This chapter goes on to tell us about some great feats that were accomplished by these men and women. Simply by believing God's word. By believing God by faith. They saw things that others couldn't see. They heard things that others didn't hear. They accomplished things that others never dreamed of or contemplated doing. Amen. All because they believed God. Amen. Dr. Vance Havner said it this way. He said, by faith they saw the invisible, chose the imperishable, and did the impossible. I like that. By faith they saw the invisible, chose the imperishable, and did the impossible. God spoke. We believe that. Why do we believe that? Because that's what causes us to believe anything. God spoke. We've got his word. But not just that he spoke in the past, but that he's speaking today. God still speaks through his word. By the way, that's what missions is all about. The whole wide world of missions is not just to marvel in the fact that there's people of different colors, there's people of different cultures, there's people of different customs. No, there's people out there that God made and God's still speaking that they need the gospel. Amen. And that's the point that we can see in this. We can see what others may not see. Amen. And so they saw, they believe, we see, we can believe God spoke all these things into being and that God is still speaking. God's still calling men and women to be a witness for him in various parts of the world. Amen. God's still calling men to preach the gospel. Amen. God's still calling men to pastor churches. God's still calling men to start churches, to plant churches, and to strengthen those that remain. Amen. We just heard from Brother Kuhn this morning and that whole situation there. That's a strengthening and a taking on the work that's been planted and continuing that going. God, and he mentioned, he talked about fear and question why all this, but God did it. God's still speaking to men and calling them in these other places. Amen. God's still calling sinners to repentance. God's still calling people to be faithful, to give out the gospel, to faithfully support missions by faith. Amen. Now, in conclusion, talk about what we can see by believing God. I said, I concluded somewhat the same way I'm doing today on Sunday. Missionaries are convinced by the Word of God that God has called them to a specific place or a specific people or a specific job. They go by faith. Amen. Churches are convinced that God would have them support missions through finances, and they do that by faith. They commit to doing that by faith. Individuals are convinced that they are to support the missionaries through their church, and they do that by being faithful to their obligations, fulfill their obligations to world missions by giving. Amen. And I said, do we really believe that all the world needs the gospel? Well, John 3:16, 17, and 18 pretty well tell us. Well, they don't just pretty well. They definitely tell us God loved the whole world and the whole world's already condemned and they need the gospel. Amen. Amen. Right there in John chapter number 3. Very easily seen. Very easily. Are we convinced that it is our responsibility getting the gospel to the whole world? Acts 1:8. We've heard Brother Blue said several times, many, many times. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both. That means all at the same time. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You can't be in all those places at one time, but you can give so that somebody can be in all those places. Amen. And do we believe that the Bible teaches faith promise missions? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Faith allows us to see what others cannot see with a natural eye. Amen. Amen. Can you see where you are to go? Can you see what you are to do? Can you see what you are to give? Amen. Can you believe God for the invisible and the impossible? After I finished my sermon, I looked up some quotes by some famous missionaries and men. This first one I thought was very adequate, and I looked it up to make sure I was getting it right. This is what got me started on this thing. Jim Elliot, you've heard it quoted. Matter of fact, President George W. Bush quoted this one time when he was in the office. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Amen. Amen. He is no fool to give who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Amen. William Carey, known as the father of modern missions, is quoted as saying, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Amen. Amen. And then C.T. Studd. I'd always heard about him, but I never read about him until last night I looked him up. He was a missionary for almost 50 years of his life. He went to China. He went to China with Hudson Taylor when he was 25. And he stayed there till his health failed. He went back to England, which is Britain, where he's from. And in a few years, he regained his health. You know what he did? He went to India as a missionary. And he stayed there till his health failed again. And he went back to Britain. And in a couple of years, his health regained. And he went to Africa. And he stayed in Africa till he died. Here's what, I wrote two quotes. I found several quotes by C.T. Studd. Here's what he said. By the way, when he was in China, his daddy died, left him a sizable inheritance. He wrote back that he didn't want anything for himself, and he wrote back how to give it out. He wanted some gave to Hudson Taylor, some gave to George Mueller, some gave here, there. I mean, he scattered it all across God's work and did not keep a dime. He said, God's supplying my needs day by day. Amen. C.T. Studd said this. He said, some wish to live within the sound of the chapel bell, but I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. You think about that. A lot of people like to live close to the church. He said, I'd like to get as far out as I can and try to rescue somebody that's about to fall off the edge. He also said this quote. I'd heard this quote I'd heard all my life. I had no idea that it was a missionary that made it. This is this quote. It's a longer poem, but this is a section of it. Only one life twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Boy, that's so true. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask them to come with a song. We're going to have an invitation if God spoke to your heart. God still has a work to do even in 2020. God still has a work to do even in COVID-19. God still has a work to do even in a Biden administration, if that's how it'll be. God still has a work to do even if America falls apart in some kind of civil war. God still has a work to do. And I want to be faithful to do that work. God's still calling sinners to repentance. He's still calling men to preach. He's still calling people to be a witness. He's calling me and you to be a part of His work. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth of it. Thank You for the fact that it helps us see things that others cannot see. Lord, we're responsible for that. Help us to be careful how we do, what we do with what You've given us. Lord, help us to be faithful to You and to Your work. To be dedicated to You, as Brother Steve taught in Sunday school this morning, that it all be to Thy glory, that that's what we're looking forward to and that's what we're abounding towards, is the glory of God. And You receive glory, we'll pray. Bless in the invitation time and draw sinners, Lord. Help saints to surrender and be faithful to the work of God. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, some in the altar, some praying in the pew, if you need to come pray, I want to give you opportunity to do so.